What up, San Diego? Welcome into hour number two. 3 o'clock on the dial. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Talking Padres Giants tonight. No, Padres Astros tonight.
You left your heart in San Francisco, Tony.
Yeah, no. You know what? You know, it's a little chilly, so it made me kind of think of San Francisco a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm back in the cozy confines of Petco Park.
Yeah. What was the pregame yesterday? A lot of Roberto Clemente stuff. I didn't get all of it. But you guys were on for like the game start late yesterday.
It was
yesterday.
Late yesterday.
So the game start late.
And some guys wore 21 yesterday. Some guys didn't wear 21 yesterday.
So Roberto Clemente. Anybody who wants Roberto Clemente day. Yeah. Anybody who wants to wear it can wear it.
Yeah.
Three guys for the Padres. Two guys for the Giants. I believe it was Ramos and Yastrzemski on their side. And hold on, I got it in my
schedule. I know Jason Adam wore it for the Padres.
For the Padres, it was...
Fernando wore it, but that's
Manny,
his number.
Manny, Bogey, Peralta.
Oh, yeah, right.
Manny, Bogey, Peralta. Did Tanner wear it? I don't know if he wore 21.
No, Taylor, Jason Adam. Almost sure he did, because I remember him pitching, and he had 21.
Well, I know he was elected for the Roberto Clemente Award. Oh. He's one of the finalists. I don't know if he wore 21.
He did wear it. For sure.
Okay, so he did. Yeah. So four guys wore for the Padres, yeah. Two for the Giants.
I'm a little surprised.
Reason why
more
the game
guys
was
didn't wear that, Tony. I'm a little surprised more guys didn't wear it.
Yeah,
maybe they didn't feel comfortable with the jersey itself. I don't know.
That's how it started. For Jackie Robinson, I did that. I think the first year of that was 2007,
right?
And originally, you were asked if you wanted to participate, and if you wanted to, you could wear the jersey, and then it turned into everybody. So
got it.
I know there's some clamoring for Roberto Clemente to change into the same thing. It hasn't got there yet, but I certainly wouldn't. I'm not playing anymore, so I don't have a vote in this. But I wouldn't have been opposed to honoring Roberto Clemente on his day. So we'll see how that went. The reason why the game was delayed, though, was because they honored Orlando Cepeda before the game yesterday. And it was funny because, they had the first pitch, and they had, like, all of the Giant greats who are still around there. And so there's four first pitch, and there's four guys catching. And one of the guys catching was Barry. But Barry walked up with a bat, and he got into the box.
Oh.
And it was funny because everybody knew he was joking, but nobody really wanted to throw the baseball. Like, he got time to throw the baseball, and they were all hesitant to throw it just in case he swung it. So then he got out of the box, he picked up the glove, and he caught the first pitch.
What are the odds he headed into McCovey Cove, Tony?
I wouldn't put it past him.
Me neither. Me neither.
Let's just say that.
Yeah.
But that was the reason for the delay in yesterday. We got to talk a little bit about our Aztecs. They
played they were Berkeley. Up there. Tony could have gone to the game set. Oh no, you had to.
It was right in the middle of our game. Trust me, I was rubbernecking it the whole time our game was going on. Just kind of looking to see what was going on. Didn't turn out great for us.
A
lot of penalties.
Yeah, if they don't stop making penalties, I'm not. Not a football coach. Sean Lewis got to do what he's got to do, but he's got to tell them they can't do the penalties anymore, because the rest of the game is almost a moot point, Tony.
Yeah,
they can't get out of their own way. They started a freshman redshirt quarterback. The kid played fine, but just like Danny O'Neill before him, you can't do it when it's 3rd and 19 every time because there was a penalty, and they would have. Taking the lead in that game in the third quarter. They were down 7-3. They got a pick six. Guy ran it all the way back for the Aztecs. There was a penalty on the run back, and that brought it back 60 yards upfield. 31-10 was the final score. I think the Aztecs, wore down a little in the second half. Their run defense certainly did. Maybe they got a little dispirited. But to me, if you don't have the penalties, you're winning 10-7. It's a different game. They've got to stop that. It's almost impossible to tell what kind of a team they have because they can't get out of their own way on these flags. They lead the nation now in penalties, 39 in three games, and those are the only ones that get accepted.
Yeah.
There's more.
That's a good point. I think it just – a couple of things stood out to me in the little bit I got to watch is that
– Yeah.
They certainly seem like they're moving in a better direction
than
they were – for the past couple of seasons. Like, despite all of the penalties and all of the things that were going on, they seem like they're moving in the right direction. The penalties are going to be tough for a team like this to overcome. You know, I don't know that they're supremely talented enough to be able to overcome that many penalties. Like, I don't know if any teams really can overcome it. By the way, Berkeley wasn't that much better in terms of the penalties they accumulated over that game either. But I still walked away. I know we got beat up pretty good. I still walked away encouraged because I feel like we're still heading in the right direction.
I'm with you. I watched the whole game, and I feel the same way. I mean, the final score, it's the old, you know, it's the old song and dance of a losing team. It wasn't as bad as the score indicated. But most of that came in the fourth quarter with the game kind of out of reach, and they busted a couple runs. The Aztecs played really well for a long time, and they had a backup quarterback, the Aztecs did, and I thought they were right there with them. But it's almost impossible to get a rating. Like I said, I'd like to see a game with no penalties so that I can actually see, you know, okay, they need to work on this, they need to work on that. No, they had to work on one thing right now. That's it. And you got to have discipline. When your guy's running a pick six back and a guy steps in front of you, you can't push him in the back. You got to have the discipline. Yeah. It was a block that didn't even need to be made. The guy was, you know, taking it to the house. So, you know, that's got to change. And I don't have the recipe for Sean Lewis, but I'm liking what I see better. The wins loss thing not translating, but, you know, hopefully when they get into conference, they'll do a little better. I know they got Washington State this week, or is it an in-between game? I don't have
no Washington State's after, like, it's later in the season.
Oh, that's later.
That's a game I've circled to maybe possibly taking my family to go watch.
Let me see what
I'm looking.
Yeah, take a.
It's like the 24th or 5th.
Oh, Washington State is October 26th. Oh, so they're playing. They're playing at Central Michigan September 20th. So this is a bye week.
Bye week. Well, I have one. Oh, wait, they're playing on September 20th?
28th.
28th. So this is a bye week. I know what I'm doing. I'm practicing, and if you commit a penalty, you're going right up to the locker room, and that's it for the day. That's it.
In high school, not even
running, you're just going to send them to the locker. You're getting kicked out.
Oh, you know what? Good idea. Run for an hour, then go to the locker room.
You know, in high school, we committed so many penalties. This is the same team I shared with Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
Did we get a round of applause for him yet for his performance yesterday?
He still hasn't got his round of applause.
Can't do it.
But we were bad with penalties at the beginning part of my senior year, and so we would have to run one gasser for every accepted penalty. Even the ones where we had to, like, take a delay of game to punt, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so one day we ran 13 gassers, Chris. Mm. And I couldn't finish practice.
Did you throw up?
Yes, I did. There were many of us.
That sounds like a throw-up day.
For anybody who doesn't know what a gasser is, it's 50 yards there, 50 yards back, 50 yards there, 50 yards back. That's one.
That's one. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so far, the Aztecs, if that were the case, ran 16 gassers after the first game, 10 after the second game, and 13 today.
It honestly gives me the shivs.
It's too much. It's just absolutely too much. I mean, you know, I like this running game. Cooper, 87 yards, 22 carries, 4 plus, you know. The quarterback didn't bother me. He played all right under the circumstances, but I don't know what you're supposed to do when you just get, you know, whistled for everything you do. So,
yeah, you can't do much. The other story, potpourri story, Bryce Young. First round pick of last year.
Oh, right.
The man that Chris likes to pick on a lot.
I
got
do.
His job
now,
taken
now
away.
Now I feel bad.
No.
I feel bad, man. The guy's on the sidelines. I want him, you know, to hang in there.
Listen, excuse me a little bit. It's not unheard of for a high pick to be benched and then get his job back later. And after hearing some of the commentary on why they did it, it makes a lot of sense. I was listening to Marcus Spears talk about it. I didn't watch that game, but he did. And what's apparent is that this is a guy who has no confidence at all at this point. And when you get to that point this early in the season, it's only week two, you probably have to make somewhat of a change so that, you know, he can possibly get his confidence back. Because right now, you know, based on the type of team they have it might be hard. He's probably be better off actually watching who is it, Dalton?
Yeah, Andy Dalton. Yeah. Andy Dalton's still going.
I couldn't help but think about what Tom Brady said as this was going on about how he thinks more quarterbacks should sit when they come into the league. Because, I mean, right now there's a lot of proof saying that that's the best way to go, whether we're talking Love or we're talking Rodgers, an old Rodgers now, but it wasn't like that to begin with, whether we're talking Mahomes, Brady. The really good quarterbacks that have success early in their time, you know, and that's not all of them. Some of them come in and they have success right away, but there seems to be a pretty good record of guys who've sat and then played and been able to kind of go from there.
I'll tell you, if the Bears had another option, I think they might give Caleb Williams a couple games off. He's really struggled. And, I don't hold it against these guys. I'm not a huge Caleb Williams fan, but like I've said, but this has got to be the hardest position to play in all of sports, being quarterback for an NFL team. And you're asking these guys to come right in right away, usually on bad teams, and try to do it. And the success level, other than C.J. Stroud, right, there's very few who can pull it off. And I wouldn't be shocked if Stroud took a step or two back this year. They didn't lit it up yet. So a couple of other quick NFL notes. Cooper Kupp could go on the IR.
Yeah. Which That's, IR, though? The season IR or the four-game IR?
Don't know. Just says ankle
four
injury.
Four-game. There's a bunch of IRs today, man. It's
but the Rams already don't have a receiver. Pacheco, 6 to 8 weeks. But don't worry, don't fret, Chiefs fans. Kareem Hunt is coming back to the Kansas City Chiefs to take Pacheco's spot. Whatever. Say whatever you want. I know these guys all deserve second and third chances, but it just doesn't matter what kind of character you're off the field. If you can carry the football, they'll hire you. So I think there's some people who feel similar about Kareem Hunt continuing to play. But that's the story there for Kansas City. And they lose Pacheco.
You mean that's the story? You mean the refs and their like?
We'll get into that
in
the good, bad, and the ugly, and everything else. I know you're going to be. You're upset about that. You think that the
honestly
thinks the NFL sits around and plans for ways the Chiefs to win.
This is what happens when your team gets their face slapped in the Super Bowl a couple times. You just forever hate one team.
That doesn't hurt. Let me tell you, it doesn't hurt. But it just seems like the Chiefs pull it out. Every time.
Hey, when you're really good, you make your own luck. That's what happens.
You know, it's funny.
Someone
there
put
was
that
a,
on a T-shirt.
There was also a tweet that came out today of Patrick Mahomes walking around the field after a loss to the Bills. I think it was last year at home.
Oh, when the penalty thing?
Yes, and all Patrick Mahomes is going, these guys suck. They're terrible. They're terrible. These refs suck. They're terrible. This is awful. And people are tweeting it out like, Patrick, man, you might want to calm down a little bit.
But remember him being quite upset, yep, and people were like, hey, bro.
There you go.
Listen.
It cuts both ways, but that was a tough pill to swallow for the Bengals yesterday. I'd agree with that, Scrape.
Hang with them, Bengals.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to break. I have to jam out of here to hear Mr. Mike Schilt. I will be back. My friends will keep the party going. A little Daily Gambit coming up next. More Gwen and Chris.
Scrapey just gave me some good news. 3:19 is the time. Scrapey's finally come around to it. He is going to play the sounder to congratulate Kevin O'Connell.
No, that's not the news.
Oh, that wasn't the news.
No.
Yeah, some friend you are.
Well,
Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Chris Scrabey. Tony's running around. He'll be back for more of the show, including the good, the bad, and the ugly, which comes up shortly. Our recap of NFL Week 2. Also, Big 5. We'll have Tony a little later. But here's the news. 5 o'clock hour today, and we're only on till about 5:35. So it's a 35-minute stretch there. During that time, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the pop this Wednesday. And I believe... Don't hold me to this, Scrabe.
Uh-oh.
I believe Wednesday is Fernando Tatis Platinum Glove Bobblehead Giveaway Day. The final in the series.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So Wednesday, not only two tickets to see the Padres Astros, but you get the Fernando Bobblehead, the Platinum Glove Bobblehead Wednesday. Those tickets up for grabs in the 5 o'clock hour. I will tell everybody ahead of this, study up on your Houston Astros trivia.
Oh, wow.
That's normally where I go with stuff like this.
Yes.
because they're playing the Astros, I'll probably give you an Astros question. If you get it, you'll go see the Padres and Astros on Wednesday. Tonight is game one of the series, final game of the homestand. Life is good to be a Padre right now after they sweep the Gigantes. Padres are 3.5 clear of the wild card right now. Mets without Francisco Lindor, home to Washington tonight. Braves home to the Dodgers. Those games get underway in the 4 o'clock hour, about an hour from right now. There's also Monday Night Football tonight, Falcons and the Eagles. The Battle of the Birds. Coming up later on, we will not be carrying the game here tonight because we have Padre baseball, of course.
Yes.
But that is what's going on. We gave you some of the NFL headlines in the last segment. Here is a little news on the Padres, which includes tonight's lineup. Luis Arraez, 13-game hit streak now, Scrabe, and he's hitting 900 during, no, 456.
I was going to say, wait, what?
It seems like he's hitting 900.
He does.
I mean, he gets at least two, sometimes three a game. I'm going to stop defending him. I'm just going to let him defend himself. I don't need to defend him anymore. He's so good. I love this guy. 322 is now the batting average. He's on his way to his third straight batting title. Tony Gwynn, among a handful of people in history who've ever won three straight batting titles. Rod Carew, Cabrera, I think, was the last. Miguel Cabrera. So there's not many guys who do it. He hasn't struck out in 140?
Something like that.
Something like that. Straight plate appearance. That's what Sammy tweeted out.
Yeah, 140,
out. I think Juan Pierre, 147, is ahead of him.
Yeah.
But, man, and you know what? He gets two strikes on him all the time. And then they try everything. They can't strike him out.
He's got a gift.
He's got a gift. He's leading off at DH. Fernando's in right. Profar's in left. Machado's at third. Maryland center. Bogarts, Cronenworth. Solano at first. We didn't even talk about Solano's, what was it, 5-for-5 the other night, 4-for-5. You know, and he played some good defense yesterday. I know he had a ball get away from him, but he made some good plays in that game. Down at third, he'll be at first base tonight. Higashioka's catching for Darvish.
Sweet.
I will say this. The young right-hander pitching for Houston tonight, I think he's a rookie, Spencer Arrighetti.
Yeah.
7-12, 4.72. Don't let that fool you. This guy's pitched really well lately.
So he's not gettable.
He's had some good games. He's probably gettable, but he's had some really good outings of late in his rookie season. So no pushover there. All right, Daily Gambit, winners, losers, how'd we do?
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Currently on ESPN, Jason Kelce is sitting outside of Lincoln Financial Field in like a green jumpsuit. And I guess he's going to be joining Trey Aikman and Joe Buck in the booth tonight.
Jalen Hurts would rather have him hiking the ball.
I think so, too.
Because that's a big story with the Eagles right now. The no more. At least in game one, it did not work.
Thank goodness.
Without Jason Kelce. So we'll see if they do it tonight.
Some people are like, please don't let him in the locker room. Get the coaches to get him to come out of retirement to play. You never know. All right. Yeah. Dylan Cease on Friday night against the Giants. Over under 6.5 strikeouts. All of us went over and all of us were correct. 10 strikeouts.
Great game for Dylan and congratulations on 1,000 in his career.
Which was actually a walk.
Which I liked what he said. He said, somebody at Musgrove or somebody asked him, why didn't you get 1,000 strikeouts earlier? And he said, I don't have that good a command. He said, if he had it, he said, I'd have more.
All right. I like that. Cease had number of innings pitched in the game. Dylan Cease, who pitched more is what I'm trying to say. Him or Logan Webb? And you guys said Logan Webb. I said Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease went 6. Logan Webb went 4.
You know, we talked a lot about Fernando's home run last night. What but about how about Friday? His home run Friday yeah. night? That set the tone of the series.
It did.
Just like that.
2-0, and then you get a sac fly from
yep.
Bogarts.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, Kansas State football, 7-point favorites over Arizona. You guys chose Arizona. I chose K-State. K-State won 31-7.
Yeah, route.
Now, you guys chose Tennessee on this one. I chose Kent State. But Tennessee was 49-point favorites over Kent State, and they just crushed Kent State 71-0. So they are going to be coming around the mountain.
Did we remember our story last week about shortening a game and whether it's an official game to bet on?
Oh, did that happen again?
I don't know, but 71-0. I wonder if they played running clock in the fourth quarter.
What if one of the coaches is like, no, we're playing it out.
We're playing at least 55 minutes so these people can get paid.
Yeah, right. Dodgers Braves on Friday, over under 8.5 total runs in the game. Chris went over, Tony and I went under, and we barely were right. It was 6-2 Braves, so 8 runs total.
Yeah.
Asia Wilson of the WNBA, over under 27 points scored on Friday night. Chris and Tony said over, I said under. She was under 15. And finally, Caitlin Clark, over under 8.5 assists in the game. Chris and I went under, Tony went over, and she barely went over with 9.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark is, don't look now, the second half of her season has been all that and then some. She's been that good.
What did Tony call her on Friday? Oh, a hooper. She's a hooper.
She's good. They showed a great clip of her the other night, driving for a layup, going down, stealing a ball, throwing a behind-the-back pass, getting it back, stepping back, hitting a 3. Just like a sequence that, you know, just like great basketball.
You know, I'm glad, well, at least for now, that she is living up to it.
Because 17 it's fun to see flagrant live up fouls to against her. People stop hating. Too much hate in the world out there.
Yes.
All right, tonight, Falcons and Eagles. 45.5 points. Scraby?
Ooh, wow.
Over under 45.5.
I got to think that the Falcons are going to open up that playbook a little bit. I'm going to go over.
I think this is an over. Eagles are a scoring team. Kirk Cousins, I mean, say what you want. He's not going to be that bad 2 weeks in a row.
No.
It's the second game. You should feel a little better. This is a good one here. Bijan Robinson or Saquon Barkley. Who's going to have more rushing plus receiving yards?
That is a good one.
I'm playing against Barkley in fantasy. So, you know, I already know the answer to this.
You want
Barkley's going to sweat it out. Make me sweat it out. He's going to get a lot of rushing receiving yards. I'll take him. Who do you got? Barkley or Bijan?
I know that Bijan is a highly touted. He's really, really great, but I haven't really seen it yet.
Enough from him?
Not yet. So I'm going to go with Saquon.
You're going with Barkley also. Devonta Smith, over under 73.5 yards. Remember, A.J. Brown is out tonight for
yes,
the Eagles.
That is a good point.
Does that mean Devonta goes wild, Scraby? 73.5.
You know, I just didn't like how their passing game looked in the first game. I'm going to say under week two.
For Devonta. My wife has Devonta Smith in her league, so I'll say over for her. Would you, let me ask you, we talked about this for a second with Tony. My wife is beating Tony by 1 point. He doesn't have any players going,
yeah.
So she's already won. She has Devonta Smith. The savvy fantasy player would actually go in and take him out of the lineup.
See, I don't know if that's savvy.
Why not?
Well, because A, it goes against the spirit of the entire game.
I agree with that 100%. But if he does an end around and fumbles on the first carry and gets a -2 and then is out for the rest of the game, she could actually still lose.
What is the likelihood that's going to happen?
Very little.
Very low. I think, and also the points matter throughout the year. So if he has like a 30-point game and you're tied at the end of the year, you're going to be like, I shouldn't have sat him that one game.
Right.
I would play him.
I'm going to tell her to play him. I mean, come on. That's the spirit of the rule. Spirit yes. of the game, like you said.
Yeah.
How about Jalen Hurts? Over under 39.5 rushing yards.
Ooh.
He was about 39 last week.
I know. They always do this.
He's going to need to go over without A.J. Brown. I think he'll score some more. Say over.
I'm going to say under.
Under. Okay, we go to baseball now. Dodgers are 1.5 over the Braves. It's a tough one here if you're a Padre fan. Padre game means more than anything, but who do you root for here? You're 3.5 ahead of the Braves, but you're also only 3.5 behind the Dodgers.
With 3 games to play against the Dodgers, I'm thinking division still,
You're
baby.
Still thinking division. So
I'm
you're
going
to take the Braves here?
Yes. They've been beating up on the Dodgers.
Except the ninth inning yesterday.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll take the Braves. Your guy, Paul Skenes. Last-ditch effort for Rookie of the Year. 6.5 strikeouts against the Cardinals. This is always his number.
It is.
And he usually goes over. Yeah. So I'll say over.
Now, we got a question on the chat.
Okay.
Is Jackson Merrill still the front runner? And no one else has done anything crazy, so yes, he's
Merrill
the front
went 1-for-19 recently, but he turned that this weekend with 5 hits and a couple of RBIs.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hurt Jackson to hit a couple more homers and win another game. But I think he's still in front.
Yes. Yeah.
Who you got here? Skenes over.
Over.
And finally, Padres Astros, 8 runs tonight, Scrabe. Over, under.
Both teams obviously can score. I'm going to go over.
I think this is a good pitcher's duel. Okay. I think Darvish is kind of getting it back together. And I told you, I like this Arrigetti kid for the Astros. All right, we'll see how we do tomorrow. In the meantime, we take a break. When we come back, one of our favorite segments of the week, wrapping up week 2 of the NFL with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Next on Gwen and Chris. If you like Mediterranean cuisine,
a lot of people have still.
Hey, did I talk over? What happened?
I've been sitting over here being like, all right, Chris, I'm going to play this audio clip.
And oh, I didn't hear you. All right, let's hear the audio clip. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
What was it?
It was Jackson Merrill talking about...
Well, I don't like to talk over Jackson.
I know,
feel bad
okay.
now.
It's okay.
It's been awesome. You know, I've never played in front of an atmosphere like this. Not a lot of people have still, and they're in the big league, so it's really special. And, you know, I'm just thankful it's gone by really fast, too. You know, it seems like a blink of an eye. And spring training the other day, and now it's end of the season.
He was asked about how he feels playing in front of the Padres fans in a pennant, or not a pennant race,
they love
a
him.
Playoff race.
They love him.
Of course.
As they should. All right, sorry about that, Jackson. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. I was trying to tell everybody that Mediterranean food is our go-to around here. And if you like Spiro's, Greek, Mediterranean, fantastic, Coronado, La Jolla, and online, spiroscuisine.com. All right, we're going to get into our good, bad, and ugly recap of week number 2 in the National Football League. Before we do that, quick reminder for those of you trying to get a late, you know, pick in for the Monday Night Football game.
Oh.
Kirk Cousins starting for the Falcons tonight brings a 9-game Monday Night Football losing streak into the game.
Solid.
It's the longest streak of any quarterback in NFL history. He's lost 9 straight Monday Night Football games. Something you may care or not care about heading into tonight's game between the Falcons and the Eagles. In the meantime, we'll check traffic. Then let's go back and revisit the good, the bad, and the ugly of week 2. All right, away we go. Week 2 in the National Football League. I'll wrap up tonight with the Monday Night Football game between the Falcons and the Eagles. A game for the birds, Scraby says. But week 2, lots of good, lots of bad, and even some ugly. So let's get right to it. We'll start with the good. And I think you have to start with the red-hot New Orleans Saints. They look like they're for real, or at least quarterback Derek Carr does. He had led 15 consecutive scoring drives to open the season.
Wow.
By the time he was done with the Cowboys yesterday, and Kamara had 4 TDs in the blowout.
Play action to Jamal Williams. He's looking deep, and he's throwing deep, and he's going for Shaheed. Shaheed makes the catch. 10, 5, goose. See you later. Bye. No flags. 70 yards.
Wow.
Derek Carr with a beautiful throw. Shaheed got behind the defense. This is a big, nice win for the Saints, 44-19. But, Tony, this happens to the Cowboys from time to time where it seems like they just don't even show.
Yeah, it's funny to me. Cowboy fans were feeling quite
you know, good about themselves after last week. They signed all their players. They went out. And Bo Raisin, we talking Super Bowl after week one, as we typically do with the Dallas Cowboys. But we also have plenty of weeks like this where basically a no-show. And I tell you what, for all of the crap that people give Dak Prescott, it's their defense that is the problem. They can't stop the run at all. And next week, you got the biggest, baddest running back coming your way in Derrick Henry. So I don't know that it's going to get better. I mean, both teams are 0-2, chance to be 0-3 after next week. Lot of concern there in the America's favorite team there.
Sorry about that, Big D. You got routed. The Saints have outscored their first two opponents 91-29. Derek Carr, people. All right, also good yesterday was the performance of Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. Now, Murray's been looking for somebody to play with, and he might have found somebody in hotshot rookie wide receiver Marvin Harrison. Four catches, 30 yards, two touchdowns in the first quarter as the Cardinals ran away from the Rams.
I especially enjoyed that. Kyler Murray has received a lot of slander because people like, you know, in our society, we have such short memories, and we just forget how good he was when he was healthy. And, you know, it was fun to watch him really just go to work. And then all the hubbub about him not throwing the ball to Marvin Harrison or throwing it to him only a couple times in the first game, it all got ironed out week two.
Fake to Connor. Murray on the rollout. Looking deep for Harrison! Marvin Harrison Jr. to the end zone! Touchdown again!
Marvin Harrison looked awfully good. I want to say this, though. The two touchdowns are the ones to Harrison we keep seeing. The third one that he threw to the backup tight end, where he ran around and escaped the rush for about 10 minutes, that's Kyler Murray at his absolute finest.
Yeah, he's running in circles.
No doubt.
Ah, amazing play.
Can you imagine having to defend that long?
No. No chance.
That'll have teammates cursing each other out on the sideline.
That was unbelievable, puking
because they're tired.
And puking,
like
exactly.
They had in the other game. That was a great play. Sean McVay, the genius, is 0-2. Also in the good category, Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings. For some reason, KOC has the 49ers number. The Vikes beat the 49ers for the second consecutive season in Minnesota.
Back to pass. Bosa picked up. Deep shot. Jefferson. Yes! Caught at the 50. Heads left to the 40. Cuts back to the 25. Heads to the right. He's trying to outrun the Niners. To the 5. Touchdown!
JJ, 97 yards later. Sam Darnold was feeling pretty good after he got a little bit of revenge on the team that cut him.
I would like to dispel this rumor
hating to the anger
the 49ers
out,
because they gave him a job when no one wanted to give him a job. He was a backup quarterback last year that propelled him to a starting quarterback role. I don't think Sam Darnold has any issues with the 49ers.
I think every player that gets cut by a team,
I don't think he got cut.
Like they
I think
get
it was a one-year deal.
Tony, isn't that a normal reaction for any athlete?
Absolutely.
I would think so.
Absolutely.
The highlight of this game, though, go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to say, it was just being in San Francisco when that game happened. I'll tell you a quick story. Donnie, our bus driver.
Oh, man, I bet it was a
sad
day by
the
bay.
Big Raider fan.
Okay.
He had predicted all bad news for the Raiders, all good news for the 49ers. It was like kind of the woe is me type deal. His grin when I saw him at the end of the game.
He was a happy guy.
Oh, it was. I could have took a picture. It was so nice to see a man smile like that. 49ers taking an L.
It's
nice.
Fine.
They took an L.
They haven't won in Minnesota since 1992.
There you
Longest
go.
Play from scrimmage that the defense has given up in the entirety of the franchise history.
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 Wow. History-making play. And on that history-making play, if you haven't seen the clip, go back and watch it, because the official racing down the field next to Justin Jefferson is something to behold.
He needs to be called up as a wide receiver.
This guy's unbelievably fast.
Yes.
And it's part of the highlight. All right, that was the good. Let's get into the bad. And it starts with the two-time defending champion Kansas City Chiefs, not because they had an exciting win over the Bengals, and it's certainly not the Chiefs' fault that they seem to get every call But it happened again. Fourth down, game pretty much over. Patrick Mahomes throws it up for grabs, and the receiver got bumped. He got the call. Butker goes down, kicks the winning field goal. The Chiefs are 2-0.
Butker's kick, leg through. It is high enough, and it is good! Kansas City! Harrison Butker, another clutch kick against the Bengals, and the Chiefs win it at the buzzer.
I got to tell you, watching Joe Burrow walk off that field yesterday, he was trying to be classy, and I give him credit for that. But he just couldn't do it. He was so upset, so disappointed. I think every Bengal fan was. But a call's a call. You got to make it. We've talked about this before. Though. If you don't call it, then you're deciding the game the other way.
Did you see the egregious holding?
Listen to him.
Did you see the egregious holding of the Bengals defender by two Chiefs players that was in the middle of the field that would have negated the penalty that came late to begin with? I want to know which person sold their soul to the devil. Is it Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes? Because I think it's Andy Reid.
I want to know who's responsible for the Vikings drubbing the Niners. That's
I don't care. This is not a Niners response.
No, it is.
This is a Chiefs get every single call response.
The thing is, by saying the Chiefs get every single call, you're basically trying to somewhat negate two straight Super Bowls, and that's just not working in my mind.
But you came into it saying the same thing.
Because I wanted to push your buttons. Apparently, I did.
You know that the Chiefs have a special spot in the NFL offices. They don't.
You know what? I can go all the way back to the Dolphins and their super season 50 years ago.
Oh, great. Let's do that.
I'm just saying they got every call and everybody complained about it. And the same went for the Patriots. And the same probably went for your 49ers when they won their Super Bowls. Great teams always seem to make a play or get a play.
All right.
It's part of the package.
All right.
Also in the bad category, the Baltimore Ravens. They're 0-2, which is surprising. But here's what was more surprising. Second week in a row that the team that had the biggest point spread in the NFL lost at home, which has destroyed survivor pools all over the country. Last week it was the Bengals falling. This week it was the Ravens. They blow a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Tony, to what team did they blow that lead to?
The Raiders.
I just have to let everybody know, in Chris's little script, he spelled it out like that, too.
Raiders!
I did spell it out for you, Tony. 26-23, Las Vegas beats Baltimore. One thing on this game, go back, again, if you're watching the clips and stuff, the last play of the game, they're on their own 50-yard line or 40-yard line. Lamar Jackson takes off running right up the field. Tony, I did not see anyone in front of him. When he got to about the 20-yard line of the Raiders, it looked like if he would have made one move, he could have scored. Instead, he lateraled the ball back like 20 yards, and it got fumbled, and the game was over. Lamar Jackson, to me, missed an opportunity to maybe win that on his own. Did you see it or anyone?
No, that was my first instinct, seeing it like live, but I never saw like an overhead.
No, I agree with that.
I know when the play started, Oakland had like eight dudes like, playing basically in the end zone.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I know what it looked like when he was running. It looked like there was literally no one in front of him. But
right.
I'm not sure that was actually the case. So I want to wait to see if I see it.
Because
I saw some comments
angle.
On it, too.
I need another angle on that. But the Ravens fall. So in the bad category, my Thursday night, that was in the bad category. Buffalo blows out the Dolphins, who really seem to do this almost every time they play a good team. They lay a big, fat egg, and Buffalo blew them out.
Takes the snap, back to pass. Looking over the middle, pressure coming. Has to heave it, and it's intercepted. Coming the other way, and going for six is Jamarcus Ingram. A 30-yard interception return for a touchdown.
Buffalo 31, Miami 10, and that was only the beginning of the bad news for the Dolphins. Of course, Tua is knocked out late in the third quarter. And now, after everybody said for 2 days, 3 days, Tony, that he ought to retire, comes word that he's planning on coming right back. So I don't know exactly where this stands. I don't know if he's met with any doctors yet or not. I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but that's where things seem to be for the moment.
Yeah, I told you guys when we talked about it, there was no chance he was retiring. And the reason why I feel like that is because he's never signaled, even after the last big one, that he was even close to retiring. It's all of us that are telling him he needs to retire that caused this conversation. It wasn't Tua. So until Tua gets out there and at least waivers, this is a no-brainer.
Well,
no pun intended.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, right. Yeah, very. Yeah, let's just leave it there. 31-10 Buffalo with the nice win there. Ugly category. Have a feeling the Denver Broncos are going to spend a lot of time here this season. Pittsburgh Steelers got their first touchdown of the year, which led them to their second victory of the year. Steelers 13, the Broncos 6. Not smart. Go ahead.
I think I found out why some of these games are so boring, and it's Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith is
Steelers
the worst
coordinator
play
now?
Caller in football right now. These games are mind-numbing to watch.
But if you're... I'm going to just defend him for a second. I think Tony will agree with me. If you're beating a team 10-0 on the road, and you've got a kind of a skittery quarterback yourself in Justin Fields, and the other team isn't even threatening to score on you, why should you take any chances to let them back in the game? Hand off and punt.
I know. The name of the game is to win, and it doesn't matter how.
I don't need to do anything because Denver's no threat to catch up to me. I mean, that's my thinking if I'm the Steelers in that game.
All right.
Anyway, Washington, New York Giants also got into the ugly category. That's because Scraby couldn't find a highlight.
Literally couldn't, except for the 7 field goals.
You could have made a 7 field goal montage.
I did
montage.
Find that, but it was a minute and a half long.
You should have played all the field goals.
Played them all.
Oh, my goodness.
You bored everybody to tears.
This kicker... Go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead. I want to say one thing, though, about the kicker. Austin Siebert, I think is his name.
Yes.
He's been on 5 teams.
Yeah.
He's been cut like 16 times. He was only a replacement this week because the Commanders cut their kicker after week 1. I feel good for a guy like that that goes through everything he went through and has a 7 field goal game to win the game. That's a nice moment for him.
He was sitting on his couch last week watching NFL games in week 1.
Yeah.
If you can't tell me a cooler story than those situations.
I think it's a good one. And the Giants are not very good. We know that. 21-18 Washington over the Giants. The final ugly category, Green Bay, Indianapolis. It's not ugly because of the throw up on the ball, and we'll talk about that a little later. But I don't know. The Colts just didn't bring much. The Packers didn't have much without Jordan Love. Malik Willis did throw his first ever touchdown, though, and Green Bay got to 2-0.
Forty run for 135 yards. Put it in the air this time. It is through there to Wicks, and a touchdown. Willis threads it through for his first NFL strike and a touchdown.
Packers 16, Colts 10. The real ugly thing here is the Colts fall to 0-2, along with the Jaguars 0-2, and along with the Titans 0-2. 3 teams in that AFC South are 0-2, which is good news for Houston, which is 2-0. All right, good job, Scrape. There was the good, the bad, and the ugly for week 2 of the National Football League.
Caleb Williams, Chris, what are your thoughts?
I wrote this before he played last night, or I would have got that in the ugly as well. I must tell you, I'm not impressed with Caleb yet. And I'm going to say yet, because I still think he's got some skill. I think he's getting a little bit of the, you know, be careful, you know, how great you think you are. Because the NFL is, you know, pretty good.
And he didn't have much blocking last night at all.
He doesn't have any blocking. He has no running game also, and he had 2 of his receivers hurt. So. Yeah. I'm not giving up on Caleb Williams yet, but it's been a rough start.
I was very shocked when I saw that he was not a part of the good, bad, and ugly, but now it makes sense.
Yeah, I got this together before they lost that game. All right.
Can I say one more thing real quick before we move on? Fred Warner, if there is another player that I'll get a jersey for, apparently I just love linebackers, it's Fred Warner. He is amazing. Just got to say that.
That came out of nowhere.
It's amazing that he's amazing with you swinging. Like you are from him. It's tough with all that extra weight. It's crazy.
I'm not even sure what that meant, but I'm just going to go to break.
That was PG right there.
I know it was PG.
Oh, I know what you said you were doing.
Yes, yes. Oh, now Chris gets it. Now he loves it.
Oh, my goodness.
It.
More Gwen and Chris coming up. We got...
Chris versus the fans, baby.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. 833-288-0973.